There she goes.
Woo!
Hey, there's the theme tune. Now, for some people, this theme tune will be as significant as the Blue Peter theme tune. They'll be thinking, they're back.
Yay!
I'm
in tune.
I can't remember how we do this, Judith. What do we do? Can't remember.
Don't we clap along.
Clap along.
Here she goes.
Nothing changes at all. 2021.
Bloody hell.
How do we feel about that, Judith? 2021.
Well, we should say, shouldn't we, that we're recording this the morning after the bloody lockdown was announced.
Yeah. Today is natural fact the January the 5th, and I'm going to be taking my Christmas tree down this afternoon.
Oh, is it 12th night?
Well, I don't know. You see, this is a thing that is a bit dull to discuss. Well, there's, Judith, look it up on the Google, and it's debatable. There are sort of two schools of thought. I know. I can feel your jaw cracking into a massive... I think it's time for our first snorlaw of 2021. And I'm even inflicting it upon myself. I'm going, this is really fucking dull, Jenny. You're starting the first show of 2021 with a really dull opening about a discussion over 12
nights. You started
it. It's either the 5th or the 6th. Anyway, mine are coming down. Are yours down?
Oh, ages ago. Sick of the sight of them. Sick of the sight.
I couldn't bring my tree down, Judith. It had to do its money's worth because you know what a sort of trial it was to bring indoors.
Indeed.
Where, you know, we called the tree a cunt and all that sort of thing. And,
I remember.
Yes, there was a lot of heavy duty swearing at the
There really
tree.
Was. I mean, oh, yeah, she's saying was, something for you, Jenny
absolutely,
Eclair.
Absolutely, it was a torrential stream of swearing at a Christmas tree. Possibly one of the most cathartic moments of 2020. And I just, once we'd got it up, I thought it's going to stay there, it's going to do its job for at least, you know, till the 5th or 6th. Anyway,
you punished it.
This afternoon. Yeah.
To be honest, I took it all down much sooner than I normally would. I think by might even have been New Year's Day, I started taking all the... I'm just so over fucking Christmas. It was neither here nor there. It was a whole bloody...
Well, let's start with
nothing.
New Year's Eve. Did you stay up, Judith?
Of course not. We both fell asleep on the sofa.
What were you watching?
Well, we'd saved the last episode of Bridgerton.
Yeah.
Which I did sort of enjoy, despite all the... I was going to say bonking. That's a very ageing word, isn't
it?
Yeah, it
is.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, we loved it.
Really,
actually, I loved it.
Only showed you 65 years there. Didn't
oh,
it? The
stop
word bonking,
rubbing it in. What would you call it?
Fucking. That's what I call it. No, I've not even got to much of the fucking stage, really. I'm only on Ep 3, where I think she's just started fondling herself in the bed.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that bit?
Yes. Do you know that's everywhere these days, isn't it?
Trying to find a clitoris.
Every single drama, yeah. There's a bit of...
If they're not sort of flinging bloody tampons all over the place and, you know, that kind of thing, having sex while they're having on the blob... They're trying to find the fiddly bit in their fanny.
I know. It's fiddling
there.
With their vibrators.
You'll find it.
With the vibrators. Oh, is it? Do you know? It's bloody every time.
I can't be bothered with a vibrator, Judith. I mean, I don't know. You know, what's wrong with a bit of elbow grease? Why do these young people think they have to have a bit of machinery to do it for them? Nothing wrong with your own fist.
I don't know why they were even called vibrators.
Because that didn't really do it, did it? I don't know. It's always... Vibration has always played a part. I mean, that's why women used to sit on washing machines, isn't it, back in the 1950s?
You know. Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, only as a, you know... Yes, part of it, but, I mean... Yeah. Oh, God, it's getting very graphic, isn't it, now?
Yeah.
We are getting very... Don't listen,
well,
my
have
two daughters
sort of, if
might
they want
to this.
Previous conversations about masturbation, they'll have to find our episode where we discuss the merits of climbing up the banister rail. Which,
oh, of course!
back in the Luckily. Annals of the programme. Anyway, do you think this is why we don't get sponsorship?
Do you know, it might be a clue, mightn't it? We better rein ourselves in.
So you were falling asleep in front of Bridgerton and you finished Bridgerton. And, okay, on Bridgerton, I think it is delightful to look at. But I'm not sure it's very good.
Oh, that's a bit controversial. I mean, yes, it is amazing. I mean, interestingly, both Mike and I spent the whole time sort of looking at it saying, oh, my God, look at those plants. Oh, God. And Mike would say, once or twice he said, look, that Mysteria can't still be out.
Yeah. You know, see, this, I love that detail. Yes. You see, that's you can separate the audience by age group, can't you? Those of us who are looking at the Mysteria thinking, well, it's not still. That, yes, Mysteria has exactly, a month exactly. in spring. And then, no, I particularly like that red-haired girl.
Isn't she good? The one that, the sort of frumpy one, the kind
yes,
of plump
well, sort of
one,
not frump. She's sort of not the most classically beautiful girl, but she's mesmeric on screen, isn't she?
She really is, isn't she? I saw her on Graham Norton, actually. She's great, and she was on Taskmaster. God, that's how much television I've been watching. No, she's tremendous. But the colours, I just have to go back to the colours of Bridgerton, because it's almost like every shot, somebody would have said, yeah, okay, we want a nice sweep of kind of orange there. And yeah. I tell you what, have you got any of the extras in a kind of scarlet dress? Okay, we'll just send her through now.
They've really done the colour wheel, haven't they? They've sort of gone, okay, so we've got a lot of orange. Right, what is the opposite on the colour wheel to orange?
Yes, precisely.
And I'm thinking desperately now. It's blue,
is it purple?
Isn't it?
Purple. It might be blue or purple.
Yeah. But, it's that way. And it does all that, doesn't it?
It really does.
Sort of like an impressionist painting.
Yes, absolutely. So I was kind of looking at all of that rather than all the kind of rumpy-pumpy, whatever you want to call it. But yes, just and that girl, the daughter that we're just talking about, the one with sort of red hair, all of those sisters were dressed in these ridiculous coloured dresses all the time, weren't they? Just to add
yes,
to the
their mother
splashes.
Was highly coloured too. Yes, I'm very much like that. I very much like the frocks in Bridgerton.
Yeah, me too. Oh, it was a
we
frock
like the frocks and the flowers.
Frocks and the flowers. It was like going
the
into David
we
Austin.
Could do without. We're not that fussed with the frottaging. but the frocks
although
and
he
the flowers.
Was gorgeous. Although he is gorgeous.
Oh, yes. And I did like that colourblind casting very much.
Oh, wasn't
I thought
it worked brilliant, Jenny?
Really well. I think it's probably the first programme, big programme on, is it Netflix or the BBC?
It's Netflix. Well, it's the first big American production of a sort of, a kind of restoration British drama, isn't it?
And done with colourblind casting, which really, I thought it was. He is a dish, isn't he?
Oh, he's gorgeous,
that
Jim.
Fella. Anyway, some people won't have watched it, so we shouldn't bang on too much. So while you were watching Bridgerton and falling asleep on your sofas, Jeff
I got
and
woken
I,
up. Go on. Yeah.
We watched a Fritz Lang black and white movie from the Netflix.
It was quite art house.
And it was I think it was called You Only Live Once. And it was very moody, Judith. It's very moody in black and white moody.
Define moody.
Well, it was noir. I think they call it film noir.
Because it's in black and white.
Yeah, because it was black and white. Fritz Lang, 1937.
Ooh, it sounds
and it was
a bit challenging.
So, Judith, basically, it's a Bonnie and Clyde type of story. And I think it finished about 10 o'clock. And I thought, how much longer do I have to stay up? And I thought, fuck it. 2020 can see itself out.
Oh, quite right. Well, we were both asleep on the sofa. Some fireworks woke us up.
Not to be like that. Where am I?
Exactly like that. Might even have been a bit of dribbling. Yeah. Yes, it's about, 9:30 that woke us up. But, the drawer of my bed now.
Bad.
Well, in fact, I put on the notice board, did you see it, the photo of what I'd done and what I've started to do of an evening. But God, I've never done it on a New Year's Eve before. I put my nightie on the radiator, ready.
It was quite a sort of fancy nightie though, Judith. I wasn't sure whether it was a nightie or a pyjama top.
Oh yes, there was confusion.
It looked sateeny.
No, it's not. It's quite nice. It's John Lewis. I love it. And I do like a nightie, not a pyjama.
When you're wearing a nightie, Judith.
Yes.
Okay, now this is a technical question for the older woman. I like a nightie myself. I have three. I have three nighties that are on rotation. But I find that I cannot wear a nightie without wearing a sort of pair of long-legged knickers underneath, or else a sort of little... I've got a pair of, cotton pyjama bottoms, because otherwise my thighs chafe when I'm walking around in my nightie.
Well, what's the point of that? That's a pair of pyjamas, then. What's the difference to that? You just got a long top and a pair of pyjamas.
Yes. Yes.
Well, how weird.
Well, no, sometimes it's just the long-legged knickers. But do you not chafe then when you're wearing your nightie?
No, of course I don't. Of course I don't. That's the whole point. I don't like wearing, you know, knickers or bottoms or anything.
No, I know, but when you're walking around, do the tops of your legs not rub together?
Well, I suppose they do. I've just used to it.
Oh, I can't get used to that. No, I'm not doing... I can't do that. I just think, this is annoying me. And I've got undergarments for with my nighties.
And do you wear the undergarments for your nightie in bed as well?
No,
when you're...
No, I see.
Okay, you've clarified. So what you do is you wear a nightie... And you're
with
kind
the
of,
undergarment
with,
when
you know,
I'm, you
front,
know, because I get into my nightie. I'm bath girl at 7:30. Into the nightie at 7:50. Then I'm sort of chomping at the bit, waiting till 8:00 when I'm allowed to have a drink. I mean, fuck dry January. Is anybody keeping that going this year?
Oh, hopeless.
I think that cracked last night. I mean, as soon as Johnson came on the telly last night at 8:00, you could almost hear the fridge doors opening. Across the nation, couldn't you, really?
Oh, and the biscuit tins. Absolutely. Right, now, I'm glad we clarified the nighty thing. Yes, I do see what you mean now. And yes, if I'm, you know, if it's an early evening pre-actually getting into the warm bed, I might put a pair of leggings on if I'm going to spend a lot. Now I see what you mean. But generally,
Thank goodness we're on the same page there with our nighty-stroke underwear thing. But bed has become... a refuge, hasn't it?
Oh, it's more than that now. I've started to have this little ritual. It's terribly sad. It's a really, really old lady thing. I put 2 hot water bottles in,
His nerves. Are they both on your side?
Oh, no, they're both on my side. He can do what he likes. They're both on my side. And then I put my nightie on the top for a bit, you know, when I'm just sort of getting ready. So it's all nice and warm. And then what happens is it's like a little... and I make a little nest. I get in there and I take one hot water bottle out, and I get all nested up. You know when you get the duvet and you sort of tuck it round yourself?
Yeah. Oh, I love it's security. That's why a lot of people are buying weighted blankets, you know.
Weighted blankets?
Have you not heard of weighted blankets?
No.
A lot of people who have sensory sort of anxiety and those kind of problems, I think autistic children, these weighted blankets help as well. It's the blanket is weighted so it feels secure around you.
Ooh,
you know, sometimes
comforting.
Very comforting, yes. Ooh. And I mean, I'm not going down the weighted blanket route because don't need one. But I have noticed that this winter, Jeff and I have got an extra blanket on the bed.
Have you?
And I think that's because we need that weight and the reassurance.
Yes, I think you're right. Absolutely. I mean, to be honest, what I really want to do is to bring Poppy up to bed.
Has she not got up there yet?
She has. Of course she has. She's always up there. When Mike's not looking. But yeah, the other day I was up there and she found her way upstairs.
You don't need to whisper, by the way.
Sorry.
You know, he's going to find out. If he listens to this, he's going to find out.
Well, she found her way to Mike's side of the bed the other day. It's the first time she actually sort of got in. I mean, you know, obviously by accident. And she put her little head on the pillow and she looked at me. And I thought, oh, God.
She's asking me to get into bed with her. This is sort of a bit weird, Judith, actually. Now I'm feeling a bit squeamish, to be quite honest. Your dog is looking at you with come-to-bed eyes.
Well, I wouldn't say it was like that, but it was just so cute. And that would be very, very comforting.
Has she got horrible breath, though, Judith? A lot of dogs have got horrible breath.
Yes, of course she has. She's a dog.
Yeah, no, this is another reason why I can't have a dog. I mean, I'm still searching for the ultimate dachshund with sweet breath.
Oh, don't give me all that, Jenny. I've seen you with my dog. Yeah, and you're lukewarm. But I tell
tepid.
You what. Yes, you are. You are. Don't do it.
So you'd quite like Poppy in the bed. Does she not come up when you and Mike are there?
No, of course she doesn't. No, Mike's not into that at all. No, is it? No, he's still trying to say to me, what's she doing up here? She's not allowed up here.
Yes, you're right. The thing is, in the olden days, Mike used to go on holiday quite a lot with his chums, didn't he?
I know. Well, I thought about that. One of these days when, you know, when we're allowed to use suitcases again, yeah, and pack wash bags and all that stuff, and he goes off on one of those stupid holidays,
yeah,
with his
mates. Dangerous places. He always went to really dangerous places, like Algeria.
Iran. Yeah, yeah. Well, he's desperate to go to Algeria. And he's very welcome to it, frankly. but yes, I think the trouble is it's going to be very difficult. But the moment he goes, yeah, I can see Poppy's going to be moving into the bedroom big time.
Yeah, oh, sniggly snooze, sniggly snooze. Did the girls, did you like having the girls in bed with
you? Oh, I loved it. Oh, Jenny, and the idea of snuggling up to them now, which we haven't been able to do.
I know.
I could weep.
Because pre-COVID, I mean, you know, Phoebe was 30 pre-COVID, and we'd still have little afternoon naps together.
Oh, together, would you?
Oh, yeah. She's, I mean, I've taught her to nap because, you know, I'm a sort of terrible. I'm not so bad now because I'm not doing anything that makes me particularly, I mean, life is, it makes me anxious at the moment, but I don't have anything that makes me frightened on a daily basis, you know, like terrified, like a gig that I was really scared of. And sometimes for a lot of my adult life, I used to have to go to bed in the afternoon because I was kind of quaking. With anxiety at the prospect of what I had to do that night.
Gosh.
And the only way I could cope was, I mean, because I'm not a very practical woman, some people would go for a walk or they'd, you know, mop the kitchen floor. I would resort to bed.
That's good though, isn't it? If you can get to sleep, that's great.
And I've taught Phoebe this. I've always sort of taught her that, you know, if in doubt, there's always the duvet.
Yeah.
and we have on occasions, yeah, just gone, oh, this is, I can't cope. I'm going to bed. Are you going to bed? I'm going to bed. Come on, let's.
Right. Oh, and yeah. How gorgeous. Just snuggle up.
No, because that'd be a bit weird. But, you know, just sort of, you know, it's just nice to, because she's very small. She's quite small. So, you know, she just fits in there. And we don't touch her. I think that'd be weird. But, you know, it's just nice sometimes. I miss her so much that.
That intimacy, that closeness.
Just the hugging.
Absolutely.
You know.
I know. Me too.
And I'm not a hugger, gosh, Judith, at all.
No, not are you?
No.
Do you know, there's a photograph, a slide, and I might look it out and put it on the notice board, of me and my mother. Obviously, my father took the photograph. And I remember that we'd just come back from Brittany, first time we'd ever been abroad.
Yeah.
And we obviously were both knackered. So we're both on the bed, napping, you know, fully clothed, on top of the bed. And we both in exactly the same position. I mean, not touching, but sort of, you know. And it's
like a mirror image.
Yes, and it's exactly the way I sleep now. And I imagine it's exactly the way she always slept. And it's an amazing photograph, actually. It really is. I'll look it out. And my dad obviously took it. But yes, I could really cuddle up with the girls.
Did you dress up on New Year's Eve, Judith? Did you squeeze yourself into a party dress?
But, no, I mean, the nighty was there waiting, as I've explained. But there was an hour where I made a bit of an effort. Well, I had to, actually, because we did a kitchen Zoom disco with our friends in Hexham that are very good jivers. So I did have to, you know, put a bit of effort on and a bit of
that
lipstick.
Sounds
and everything.
Absolutely ghastly.
Well, it's only lasted 40 minutes.
Oh, that's all right. That's okay.
Okay,
yeah. So how many dances was that? But you had to dance with Mike every dance.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there is that. We chose two tracks. Oh, no, we chose one track each. So I don't.
It was never 40 minutes.
It was quite nice, actually.
10 minutes of dancing. That's fine.
Yeah.
Did you put a dress on your silver dancing shoes?
No, do you know, I haven't worn those silver dancing shoes for absolutely ages and I miss, but I saw them the other day and I thought, that is just from a previous life. I mean, the idea that I used to go to jive classes, you know, and hold, obviously dance with all these different people. Imagine it now, touching people's hands and
strangers,
you know,
strangers' breath in your face.
Exactly. I mean, it's a preposterous idea. Oh. But yes, I do miss those dancing days and those dancing shoes. But yes, so that was quite nice. That was quite nice.
You know what I bought for this year? I mean, I've not bothered buying any clothes or dressing up or anything like that. You know, sometimes I look at my jewellery box and I think, I haven't worn it. I don't even bother with my wedding ring. You know, I just can't be arsed. Nothing. I just don't put anything on. Because it's all coming off at the end of the day. What's the point?
Yeah,
anyway, the only thing I've bought, Judith, and I don't think I'll be taking it off till March, I bought a new cashmere grey cardigan from the COS sale.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got a hood.
Ooh, cosy.
Oh, so cosy. Oh, it's cosy.
Hold on a minute. I'm struggling to picture this because If, I mean, I get the hood and the cashmere. Lovely, yeah. Lovely.
And it's long, Judith. So it's right. It's hip length, yes.
But how does it work at the neck? Because surely, if there's buttons at the neck,
there's
and
no
then a
buttons.
Hood,
there's no. It's button free.
It's
what, just
it's a jumper
a,
then. Why is that a cardigan?
No, no, because it's wide open. You fool. I know the difference between a cardigan. I'm a middle-aged woman. I know the difference between a cardigan and a jumper. A jumper, I have to fight my way in and out of. A cardigan, on and off.
Do you prance around the house with your hood up all the time?
No, I've not. Actually, the hood just stays down. I have a very extra warm bit at the top of my back where the hood is. Oh, God. Anyway.
These little things.
Do you know what? I didn't really care about not going out on New Year's Eve because I've always hated New Year's Eve.
Oh, absolutely. It never works out, does it?
No, I mean, it's always been a disastrous, too long, too pissed. Yep. Can't get home, can't get a cab. Oh, we're walking home from Brixton. Oh, I'm just going to pop into that garage there for some fags. Oh, my handbag's been nicked and I've been mugged. That happened one New Year's Eve.
Did it really?
Yeah. Some disasters. What about you?
Oh, lots of disasters. I mean, even when I was on the pool and there was a kind of point to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I very, very rarely sort of ended up snogging the person I wanted to snog or dancing with the person. I was never very good at that. I remember one New Year's Eve when I was absolutely sure that the person I was going to end up with was the one I wanted. And sort of nipping up to the loo and coming back and then there he was sort of, you know, heavy petting probably with somebody in the corner.
Never ever go to the loo. Never, not until you've nabbed the prey. Never ever. Use a catheter. Use a sort of, you know, maybe a couple of tennis folded up. But never ever take your eye off the prey. No, that's the trick.
Exactly. And there were always women there that were much better looking and much better. And I remember you saying this in a Grumpy Old Woman years ago, and sometimes it comes back to me because we were talking, or you were talking specifically about sort of, you know, pulling and those pulling days. Yeah. I remember you saying that you would be in a pub. Sorry, I'm stealing your lines here. And, you know, sort of chatting somebody up in the way that, you know, probably you would chat somebody up, being funny, you know, going up, getting a round of drinks, one of the lads, you know, just really entertaining. Yeah. And then you would come back and find that they'd gone off with the pretty girl that said nothing.
Yeah, the sulky, it was usually a sulky brunette who just sat there with sort of slightly hooded eyes, just smoking and not joining
doing anything,
not giving anything, Judith.
Exactly, and not buying drinks as well, probably.
Just sitting there.
I know, I know. I think I've got a similar experience, really. And I suppose we scared them off a bit.
We exhausted them. Absolutely exhausted them. They'd be there thinking, God, she's good. I've got a migraine now. This one's like a hyena. She's like a cross between a parrot and a hyena. She can't stop talking or laughing. Hell, get me away from her. Yeah.
No, it didn't go well.
What about hosting parties? Did you ever host?
Oh, do you know, I went through a phase, actually, of a group of friends in a sort of Steely Dan phase of life, you know, I guess the 70s. Would it have been the 70s or 80s? I don't know. Like
I've never had my Steely Dan phase of life. I'm still waiting.
Oh, I loved that phase. And we did quite a few New Year's Eves in cottages in Pembrokeshire. Relatively successful, very drunken. And I remember one year I was on sort of cooking duty and making this huge pot of cauliflower cheese one New Year's Eve and having to carry it across from one cottage to the other where everyone was eating. And I dropped the bloody stuff all over gravel. And I'll never forget trying to spoon it up because actually, you know, you could drop it. You could drop something like cauliflower cheese on virtually any other surface and be all right.
Yeah, you cannot salvage your cauliflower cheese from gravel.
No, you can't. It was just dumped.
So I know. I remember that. I know what you mean by that Steely Dan phase of life. I don't think I, because I'm that bit younger.
All right.
Different soundtrack, but that time in your 30s when you're sort of, you know, you've got young children, mid-30s kind of thing, up to around 40-odd. And we had, at that point, we had a sort of quite a robust Georgian house, which was good for parties because, it wasn't delicate in any way. Like the house we live in now is quite delicate and couldn't really withstand a rowdy party. But the Georgian house was, I'd have quite a lot of people around on New Year's Eve.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's very brave. What, like 20, 30?
Yeah, no, no, not that many. About sort of 15 would be
Okay, still, but I'm impressed.
Maybe, yeah, with including kids, you know. So it's probably, hard, you know, a core of about 8 adults and you know, about 8 kids, something like that, I don't know. But I used to go to a place called Simply Sausages in Farringdon and get posh sausages, right?
Oh, yeah.
And this was back in the day before they did posh sausages in the supermarket. So it was all rather exciting, you know, this newfangled sausages. Mm. And I'd make my mother's red cabbage recipe, the German style.
Lovely. God, you wouldn't want that on the carpet, though, would you?
I've never had carpet, Judith. I've never had a house with a carpet in.
So you know,
I live with Jeff. He's not a carpet boy. He won't have carpet. We've got rubber floors. It's very good. I tell you what, Judith. You could drop a cauliflower cheese on our downstairs and it would, because
it's
got underfloor heating, it would
absolutely
keep it warm
fine.
As well. It's the best flooring in the world. But so I made this red cabbage, right, and I made too much of it and I didn't have enough receptacles because I've never had stuff, never had bowls, stuff like that, serving dishes. So I got a vase. And I filled this vase with red cabbage. And the vase was a ceramic vase, right? So I couldn't see through it and see that it had red cabbage in it. It was ceramic. And obviously I got pissed. And there was this vase hanging about at the end of the night. And I just put the vase back on the vase shelf in the cupboard and forgot all about it. And it wasn't for about 6 months.
Oh, God.
So I realised that it was absolutely green. The cabbage had gone. It got green. It gone from red to green. Anyway, okay.
So that's
New Year's Eve. And we just have a very quick Christmas roundup because, of course, it's weeks ago now.
Well, it feels
by
like
the time
six
this
months
comes
ago,
out,
doesn't it? Now,
well,
you know.
Well, this comes out at the end of this week. So how many weeks ago is Christmas? Is it 2 weeks?
Well, it's probably only 2 weeks. It just feels like it was a nice little blip. It kept us sort of slightly distracted, didn't it?
It did throughout December because even though, you know, you couldn't go to shops and do that sort of bustling down Regent Street and sort of going to Carnaby Street to see the lights and all that kind of thing, there was still preparation to be done, wasn't there? There was, you know, Christmas tree to dress. There was
oh yeah, that's right, and all that. Yes, I know. Which I, you know, as a faffer, as a big faffer, I like all that. The only thing is, there was this sort of massive sort of emergency stop, wasn't there? Because I don't know how much food you'd got in when.
What do you mean an emergency stop?
Well, because Boris announced, didn't he, suddenly? Do you know? You know, I mean, we were all going to have 5 days. And,
Mingling. Yeah.
Yes, I'd bought the cheese. I'd bought all the mince pies. I'd made my Christmas cakes, as you know. You know, I got all that fucking food in. And,
Judith, that Christmas cake. I think it's been Jeff's favourite thing for Christmas.
Honestly, I'm so pleased he liked it.
He nearly cried when it came to the last slice. And I really miss the smell of it because every time he lifted the lid the cake tin, this boozy kind of... Yeah. It wasn't just a waft, it was a fucking smack in the face. It was like somebody was pouring brandy over your head.
Yeah,
it was marvellous.
Yeah. Oh, well, good. I'm so pleased he liked it because, you know, it's the first time I've really made Christmas cakes.
Oh, I think you've set yourself a precedent now, Judith. I'm really sorry, but I think it's going to expect.
Oh, good. No, that's great. That's great. It's a good excuse to make them. So, yes, but yes, like everybody, you know, the goose was already in the freezer.
Goose?
Yes, we got all of that.
Did you do goose?
Yeah, well, we always buy a frozen one from Aldi. That's a good tip, you see. Aldi do frozen geese.
Okay, is it just a goose crown? Is it, or
no.
Does it have its legs on and all
it
that?
It has its legs and its, I was going to say, its front and back legs. They have wings, don't they? Yes.
What the fuck do you do with goose?
Very good. And very cheap. They're only about £20. I wear a fucking ton.
Drop
it on your foot. But anyway.
I had a small turkey crown, Judith.
An extra small
from Marks and Spencer's. I think they did them like
small.
Their knickers.
Each? You had one each?
No. But you know, like Marks and Spencer's do knickers in large, medium, small, and extra small.
Yes.
They did the turkey crowns like
that. Oh, did they? And you chose a small one? I bet Jeff wasn't with you.
We're just small. Not
Jeff wasn't
small.
Shopping with you, was he?
Yes, he was there. But, you know, he was more interested in pudding. So we had a small turkey crown just for the two of us because we knew that Phoebe wouldn't be allowed to stay in the house, but she did come round and I'd bought Jeff a fire pit so that she could go in the garden.
Oh, how did it go? How did it go? Did he like it?
Marvellous. So what we did was we opened the concertina doors at the back of the house.
Oh, yeah.
So she sat outside and Jeff sat outside by the fire pit, the roaring fire pit. I sat on the edge of indoors and outdoors. And we had the fire pit in the back garden, we had the underfloor heating on, and we had the fire in the front room.
Oh, nice.
Oh, Judith, I was so hot, I was in my pants. Sitting in my brown pants, opening presents.
What an image. What an image.
I know. Did you manage to see the girls at all?
Yes, we did. We were allowed to see Sienna. And because, you know, at that stage, we were both in the same tier or whatever it was. It's all a bit of a fuzz, isn't it, now, all that, now that we're into the bloody lockdown again.
Did you get good presents? Let's cheer ourselves up. Did you like your presents?
Lovely. I had some lovely presents.
I got you a nice little present. It was cheap. I got you a cheap present. I didn't know. I thought we were on the £10 kind of, you know, limit.
Well, I don't remember ever saying that, Jenny. But no, it was very sweet. It was very sweet because it was a flower press. And,
yes.
Whether I'll be able to find it again when the flowers come out, I don't know.
What
but
do
I
you mean
try.
You just chucked it somewhere?
No, yes, but it'll have to be in the bring forward pile somewhere, won't it? No, it's very, very thoughtful. Thank you.
Well,
I
bought you that, Judith, because I saw you on your bike. I thought, Judith will go out on her bike. And she'll have a pannier or whatever, or she'll have a basket, and she can put her flower press in, and she can pick some wild flowers and press them
How
on
How very
her.
Fragrant.
Yeah.
That is very, okay. Yeah.
It was thoughtful. We bought each other thoughtful gifts.
We did,
gifts.
Actually. We did. And genuinely, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
What did we have? What did I get? Oh, well, Sienna bought me this lovely book, because you know, well, we're both into stationery, aren't we? Gorgeous book. Pink book, personalised with gold writing all over the front, that said Judith's lists and thoughts or whatever, and mainly lists. It was absolutely gorgeous. And normally, you know, that bit between Christmas and New Year, that Twixmas bit, was sort of my favourite bit because, you know, you'd get your diary out, wouldn't you, or a book like that, start making all these wonderful plans and lists. I don't know what to put in it. I haven't got any plans.
Oh, Judith, you make some up. Make stuff up. Pretend. I mean, the thing is, I think that sort of some of us this year are going to have to go into a kind of fantasy other life where you pretend you're going on a skiing holiday. So you can just spend an afternoon sort of, you know, Googling ski chalets or whatever, you know, places to stay in Norway. And then make a list of the things you're going to take to a fictional holiday. Oh, God.
I wonder what sort of live cams might be a good idea, except it might make it worse. You know, if I could have a live cam now, if I could just go somewhere straight away, I'd go on the top of some sort of ski run. I mean, obviously, where I didn't have to ski down. I mean, obviously. You know, but I remember sitting in one of those cafes and having a hot chocolate in a little deck chair, and the sun was out, and you could see, you could see the Matterhorn, you could see all, and they were kind of bluey grey, and the sun light, and it was fun, and you know, all that feeling of sun on your face, but the snow. God,
I remember once going to Oslo and the snow being so white and crisp it didn't even make the you know, your trouser hems, it didn't even make your trouser hems wet.
It was
dry,
powdered,
sparkling snow. It was like diamonds. It just absolutely shone. It was beautiful. Anyway, there we go. I tell you what, if you need something to do, do you know what the biggest thief of time is, Judith? Guess what the biggest thief is to Phoebe bought Jeff and I a jigsaw puzzle.
Well,
you would think with both of us with our sort of good arty eye, I mean, you know, Jeff, I've never known Jeff get so upset over anything.
Why? Because he couldn't do it.
Can't do it. We can't. We're really slow. We're really, really remedial. It's a 1,000-piece jigsaw and we've been at it over a week, Judith. I think it might take us a month.
There's a lot of sky.
No, there's no, because it's a Matisse, so it's a lot of pattern. But there's four main patterns. and there's some striped wallpaper. And, oh, Judith. I mean, the thing is, you know, like you always say, you go for the low-hanging fruit first.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I, with this jigsaw, I went straight for her face. I found the eyes, I found the nose, I thought, I'm doing well here, Oh, look, I've got all the face and the hair in. And then the background, oh, Jesus God, and it's just there in pieces all over the table.
Oh, dear. Well, you're not selling this very well, Jenny.
Well,
you really
are. It's marvellous, though. I mean, I tell you, we can lose days with a jigsaw.
Nice thing to do together, though. Very nice thing to do together, actually. Really? Yeah. No, I get that.
I'll tell you something else. It is the biggest thief of time. If you've got nothing better to do with your life, then get a jigsaw.
Oh, but I can see sales rocketing up. Yes, right.
But I have to warn you now, you need to go into a bit of training for the jigsaw. You need to maybe sort of do a month's worth of Pilates before you do jigsaw, because Jeff developed jigsaw back, right?
You're not doing it on the floor. You're not.
No, it's on the table, but right. There's a lot of standing up and leaning over. It's quite big, Judith. Right. And we went for a walk, and seriously, he could barely get out of the car.
Oh, God.
He had to use a stick.
And bad back.
Jigsaw back, Judith. Jigsaw back.
I wonder if A&Es have got lots of people coming in with jigsaw back.
Got to be a bit careful. He had to sit with a packet of frozen roast potatoes in the waistband of his trousers every night.
That's a marvellous image. Marvellous image.
I don't really like frozen roast potatoes, so I don't really care. Do you know what I mean? When he does the peas, I think, I might want to eat those.
Marvellous.
Oh, God. So, anyway, I think it's very much time now for our cultural roundup.
Yes, we've done a lot.
See everybody through. Well, we've gossiped long and hard, Judith, and we're exhausted now, and Daisy's had to stop the record to go for a wee. That's how long we've been rabbiting on.
That's a first, I think.
Yes, I know.
Isn't it?
Okay, so television-wise, anything you'd recommend, Judith?
Well, I've been watching a lot of television, like everybody. Just sort of some random things that I've enjoyed. I really enjoyed the Billy Connolly farewell to, basically it's his sort of swan song on ITV, which was a nice interview, but lots and lots of clips from the kind of classic Billy Connolly stand-up. And I'd forgotten how good some of it is. I mean, wonderful. Enjoyed that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. So that's something I shall put in my list. I think that's something I do put in my notebook now, Judith. I list TV programmes.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I enjoyed the Bridget Jones documentary, which was sort of Bridget Jones was 25 and Helen Fielding did, you know, an interesting interview. And look, I'm telling you who was good on that was Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant.
Marvellous.
Well, do you know what? I'm not sure that I've really appreciated Hugh Grant before.
He's brilliant.
He's brilliant. He was, I mean, basically a lot of those funny lines, you know, like hello, mummy, you know, when they're sort of, when he gets sort of to the big pants. I think they were kind of ad-libs, but he was wonderful. He was twinkly and mischievous and marvellous.
He's massively underrated in this country.
Yes,
because we
isn't
sort of,
he?
Yeah, we decided. I tell you what's a really interesting programme to watch in tandem with what you're saying about Hugh Grant. On the BBC is this a documentary series on celebrity.
Oh, yes, right.
Very,
any good?
It's so well done. I mean, I think you particularly with your TV producer's hat on will go...
Oh, I'd like to see that.
That's
I'm writing that
proper.
Down. I'm underlining that.
Because it could have been put in the hands, and this sounds really snotty of me, but if Channel 5 had done it, it would be shit. The BBC have done this beautifully. And really, it's looking back on our awful attitudes towards famous people. And, you know, the damage we have done to some people. And I think that Hugh Grant, I don't think that he was treated like Kerry Katona, but in a lot of respects, he was dismissed and sneered at because of his silly behaviour with the divine
brown. Oh, the prostitute,
brown.
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, but we've all got pissed and done stupid things.
Of course we have. Of course we had. And he's so witty
and
warm.
And he's such a good actor.
He's such a good actor.
And I really do hope. And the work he's done recently has really proved that, I think. So we're big fans of Hugh Grant. He'll be delighted and thrilled to hear.
What, you think he might be listening?
He might just be listening. Some might phone him. Some might listen to this and phone him up. Then we never know. And just say, Hugh, listen, you've got a big fan base amongst the older and wider brigade. So watch out.
Yes, brace yourself.
Watch
brace
out in Waitrose and Marks and Spencer's.
Absolutely.
Places like that. In case you get goosed, it's one of them.
I love Call the Midwife, Christmas special.
Oh, wasn't it beautiful?
Did you see that?
I just thought that they treated Nurse Crane with such... It was beautiful what they did with her.
Wasn't it?
I sobbed and fucking sobbed.
Yeah,
really
I know,
loved
it was...
It. It was. I think it was a really special program.
It is. I know. It's one of the things that I find most soothing, TV wise. And
I'm tearing up now.
Oh, are you
tearing up? I thought it was absolutely lovely.
It's great.
Now, if you want something to take you away from that kind of thing, there's a very good film, Judith.
Right. Get my pen out.
Get your pen out. Everyone get your pens out. Okay. I think this is good for couples because, you know, sometimes the Venn diagram of watching television together is tricky.
Yes.
There is a film called The Town by Ben Affleck.
Right.
It's about bank robbers, but it's a love story within a bank robbery tale.
I see what you mean about the Venn diagram. Yes.
Yeah. So it's very simple. It's very watchable. You know, sometimes you get those bank robbery films, you just think, it's too complicated.
I can't follow
what these people are doing. It's not like that. It's like a gangster bank robbery film for women, but also men.
I tell you what, have you listened on the radio to the second series, which has just started? Do you know what? I'm going to prescribe this for the gang.
Okay.
I think this is essential, and for you if you haven't heard it. Conversations from a Long Marriage, okay? Radio 4, Joanna Lumley and Roger Allam.
Great cast.
And, fantastic cast. I love Roger Allam. And they're marvellous together. And it is what it says, you know, Conversations from a Long Marriage. But it's, start with series one. Series two has just started and it's on BBC Sounds. And there was a marvellous piece this week in the first episode about saying goodbye to guests. You know, that thing where you have to say nice things in the hall and then you say, I'll send you the recipe and all of that. And then it's kind of bye, but you have to wave them to the end of the drive and all of that.
Once the door is shut and you can slump against it going, oh, never again. Yeah, I did check that out, actually. It's produced by a very good radio producer called Claire Jones and written by someone who's got a long track record.
Yeah, Jan Etherington, absolutely. Etherington. No, it is. It's good. It's marvellous, actually. So, yes, okay, I prescribe that.
Right. Other things to listen to. I'm going on to audiobooks now.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's my jive. We finished White Ivy, which is a debut novel by Susie Yang, which is a really great insight into Chinese family life in America. Mm. It's a sort of life that we don't know very much about.
No.
And what I'm trying to do with my reading this year is be a bit more diverse. I'm sort of like, every other book has got to be a book that I wouldn't know. Oh, it's so much easier on audio as well, because I think that sometimes I'm listening to books that would be slightly too hard for me to read.
Yes.
Does that make
sense? Yes, I know what you mean. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you're very good. You're a big reader. I mean, you do.
I'm a big reader, and I think in terms of sort of diverse authors, Susie Yang's White Ivy is great, but it is very much a debut novel, and I don't think she knows quite how to finish it. I think The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett, which is winning lots of things in America, is something to put on your list. But for pure Hollywood escapism, honestly, Judith, I don't know whether you've ever done Valley of the Dolls.
No, I don't think I have, no.
It's about 40 hours on audio. So it's basically, it's a bit like listening to The Archers Forever, but set in Hollywood.
Oh.
And it's totally trashy post-war Broadway to Hollywood, rags to riches, showbiz, fiction. And it's read by... when I first heard the narrator, I thought, oh no, because it's a real lisping queen. But once you get acclimatised to the voice, you can't imagine anyone else reading it. It's fabulous. Fabulous.
So we had lots of lovely things from the gang, didn't we, over Christmas and New Year? We really did. Lots of really, really lovely emails and, you know, messages saying how much we've missed them, you know, because we took a break and... Do you think?
Heartwarming. And I think that, you know, I'm really glad to be back because, to be quite honest, this sort of second lockdown, third lockdown.
It might even be third, yeah.
It's sort of, you know, new year, new lockdown is hard. It's suddenly much bleaker, isn't it?
I know. And I think we've got to pull ourselves together, gang.
Yeah.
Haven't we? We've got to buck up, find some nice things to do, support each other. And, oh, God, I'm sounding so sickly, aren't I? But I am. It's a lovely gang. It is a really nice group of people.
But we want to thank you very much for all the emails you've been sending us. And we're very glad that you've missed us. And we're also incredibly glad to be back ourselves, because it does give a bit of a spine to our week, doesn't it, Judith?
It does, very much so. Well, it's nice talking to you. Do you know what? Sometimes our conversations remind me of two women locked in a lavatory. Don't you think we are a little bit like that?
It's one of my favourite songs. If Daisy can find us that to play us out, I'd be more than happy.
I love that song as well. But it is a bit like that. Don't you think that we're a bit like that?
Very much so. Very much so. That's actually just reminded me. I probably need a wee. We've talked now for over an hour.
I'm worn out now.
Hopefully Daisy will edit it out so that it's a much more palatable Daisy. 45 minutes or something.
Absolutely.
I'm going to love you and leave you, Judith and Daisy. I think I need a small snack and a lie down.
And Happy New Year. Okay?
Happy New Year, Judith. Happy New Year, Daisy. Happy New Year, older and wider gang. Thank you so much for listening. Take care of yourselves.
Bye, everybody.
Oh, dear. What can the matter be? Seven poor ladies got stuck in a lavatory. They were there from Sunday till Saturday. Nobody knew they were there. Now the first lady in was the minister's daughter. She was within for an hour and a quarter. She was so skinny, her bum touched the water, and nobody knew she was there. Oh dear, what can the matter be? Seven poor ladies got stuck in a lavatory. They were there from Sunday till Saturday. Nobody knew.